mountain when a thunderstorm came in. Clouds just kind of filled the valleys. And I'm going to tell you right now, every time the thunder rattled, it rattled your brain. It was a little unnerving. When this cloud ascended off of this mountain, though, the mountain was black. And it is still black to this day. Because the power of God permanently marked it. They said, you know what? Moses, you roll the dice for us. We don't want to know him that well. They chose rather to make God common. That's why they made a golden calf at the bottom. It's what we're used to. It's what we're familiar with. You know, my ancient family were Druids. They worshiped sticks. Part of them were Viking. They worshiped all kinds of things. Had no problem killing people. I don't believe that there's a spirit in a limb. There's the life, but once I cut it free from the tree, it's going to die. But other than that, there is nothing in that tree limb that can sanctify me, that can make me whole again. That was only the blood of Christ. Grace. Grace is an odd word when you think about it. Oh, they dance so graceful. Yeah, that's one thing. But that's a derivative. And this is even a derivative of the word kerio. But this word, the meaning is to rejoice. It's where we have our word charismatic. You know, sing, shout, lift your hands. But it's also the word, let me read you exactly what it says. Well, one, to rejoice. For a kindness given, a favor done without expectation of return. Unmerited favor. In essence, ladies and gentlemen, you and I couldn't do anything to get this goodness from God. The children of Israel couldn't do anything. They were used to worshiping idols. They were used to doing whatever they wanted to do. And yet, when God brought them out and he wanted to meet them, he wanted to show them who he was, they refused. Because they were afraid. Well, God, you're going to make me give up this. You're going to make me give up that. He may and he may not. But nonetheless, grace is something we cannot earn, nor can we repay. So what do? We live by the Holy Spirit and in his righteousness. We do the things the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. It's his righteousness. Jesus said in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That boils down to this, his way of right. His way of right was to ask his only begotten son to die for us before he ever formed this planet. You know what I'd have done? I'd have blew the thing up. Start over. I'm the start of that video game generation. Reset. New life. But that's how precious life is to God. Because it's a part of him. When Ronnie James Dio gave up his last breath, ladies and gentlemen, he gave up the very breath God put in him. When Elvis Presley gave up the last breath, he gave up the breath God had given him. Well, you're saying all these people went to heaven? No, I'm not. I don't know that he did or not. I hope that he cried out. So when it comes to religious things that we do, here's one of them that in the charismatic Pentecostal realm that I've seen seems to be a big kicker. And we're killing our preachers. We're killing the pastors of churches because Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. Paul told Timothy, right? But the charismatic world got hold of it and said, all you preachers need to be evangelists. You need to be traveling the world. Travel the country preaching. Maybe, maybe not. Who's at home with the sheep? Do you know how many churches have been split because the person who was supposed to be at home watching the sheep didn't care for the sheep? And this is fortunately one of those things God got through to me early on. Not that I can't go out and preach. If God calls me to do that, I'll go. I went to Ukraine to preach the gospel, to preach life to those people. And I'm going to tell you right, they need it. They needed it then, and they really need it now. But I taught them about faith, about trusting God. And I taught in the Crimea region, which has been in Russia control for quite a while now. And I taught them to trust God. But God also taught me something. I didn't send you there. But a common teaching that we have is that we are to encompass our life with preaching, teaching, ministry, casting out devils, healing the sick, and all of this on a global level. I'm going to preach to you here today, Sunday. Tomorrow morning I'm flying out, and I'm not going to be back until Saturday. So if you get sick, anybody dies, you're on your own. Oh no, I'm going to put a hireling in place. I've seen it. And we're killing the pastors because we think that's what they're supposed to be doing too. But we're killing them with condemnation of something that they're not supposed to be doing. I had religious people when we first started said, oh, you need to be going doing this crosswalk in London. You paying for my flight? I'm trusting God for every dime we get. Oh, by the way, God didn't tell me to go to London. We are taught either through direct or indirect methods that if we aren't reaching thousands for Jesus, we aren't really effective. Help me reach the multitudes, brothers and sisters. How many times did you see Jesus sit down and minister to one person, and it changed the lives of hundreds, perhaps thousands? Jesus is just taking a walk one day. He gets off the boat. He's going across over here, and this guy comes up screaming. He's naked. His hair's all over the place. He's filthy. His fingernails are jagged. He's got cuts and bruises all over him. And he comes up and cries, why have you come? It is not my time yet. Why are you here to torment me? One person. His appointment was one person. Thousands of demons, but one person. And when that got out, he went back. People couldn't believe it. They went in there and, well, there's Jack. He's sitting there with clothes on, his hair's combed. His beard's trimmed. And he's telling us about the goodness of God. Don't you think that one man preached the rest of his life? I do. But that appointment was for one. There's a story. A massive storm came in through the coastal plains of this country. And this man was out on the beach afterwards. If you've ever been on a beach after a hurricane or a massive storm, there's a lot of debris. A lot of fish. But in this particular case, there were starfish. All up the beach. The man's walking along. He stops, bends over, picks one up, throws it in the water. An oncomer sees him, looks at him and says, "Oh man, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm throwing the starfish back." He says, "You can't do that. You can't help them all. You can't touch them all." He says, "You're right." He bends down, takes up the starfish, threw it back in the water, but I did to that one. There may be thousands of people, ladies and gentlemen, and here's the problem. God called you to that one. There might be a young man coming up in your team soon. Don't know. You may need to touch his life. That's why it's important for all of us to be paying attention. You don't know who's going to be the next Billy Graham, who has an anointing to go out and preach salvation to the lost. But what happens? I've been around the body of Christ with a memory since 1980. Got saved about in 1978, but it wasn't a whole lot. I mean, just hit and miss stuff. We went through so many churches, it wasn't funny. But 1980, you know, things, memory started sticking a little bit better. I was 10, 54 now. I got 44 years of experience in the body of Christ. And I've seen what happens when we focus on nothing but blessing, nothing but healing, nothing but the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ suffers because we need all of these messages. We need to be able to get in this word and see God has something more for us. But we want to focus on the things sometimes that don't matter. We want to argue whether circumcision is for now or not. You figure that for yourself. There's a reason why God did it on the eighth day. Oh yeah, it was because of tradition. Anybody know why besides me and my wife? Because on the eighth day in a baby's growing, vitamin K is the highest it will ever be in their lives. And that's what helps heal. But it was new beginnings. God's looking over here and said, "Boy, you people will just keep going on in anything. I'm not stupid. I created your bodies. Our organs are designed to restart and regenerate, to keep going on." Yeah, that's off. Jesus tells us in Matthew 18 and Luke 15, 4 through 7, this is the parable of the lost sheep. It's not coming up. One, he would leave the mass to go after just one. Sorry if I just blinded any of you. I saw a red dot go across and I hit the laser pointer. He would leave the mass just to go get one. How important is one worth everything he's got? Two, we are not to despise those who we find insignificant in number or quality. It doesn't matter who their family was. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter if there's 50 of you or five. Years ago, when we were just starting this church, we're getting up, and I just told Angela, I said, I believe I'm going to preach before 1,000. Woo, glory. I was getting up there, and whoo, yeah. Got myself excited about that. And God said, will you preach the same as with 10? Then I heard Andrew Womack say, God told him the same thing. Will you preach if it's just 10? God, I'll preach if it's just one. Because that one is important. Even those whom we consider to be less worth have interceding angels who stand before God. Think about that. Think about somebody right now who just came to the top of your brain housing group there, who you despise, who you think is the toenail of mankind. And know this, that there's an angel standing before the face of God for them, just like yours did for you. Somebody's praying for that person. Somebody prayed for Ronnie. I was one of them when I found out he got sick. Don't know why. I didn't listen to his music other than those two songs I named. Didn't know he had done these. But God moved on me to pray for him. These are those completely lost and those who have gone astray. The lost and those who have walked away. Years ago, when we were trying to establish ourselves, wrap our heads around what God just called us to do, and we're like, okay, God, what do we do? What do we do? How do we do this? And he just started teaching us. But there's been one common theme that we have seen through the entire time. Not everybody's still here. Sometimes God's got to move them on. They come, they get what they needed. Sometimes it's that jackhammer in that crack in their armor so that they can let go of the hurts. But one of the things God showed us early on is the majority of the people we will preach to here have had a bad taste in their mouth towards religion or God. I did. If it weren't for the fact God spoke to me, I mean, he spoke to me, I probably wouldn't have done this because the taste was awful. And God said, you can't be that person. I had to start backing off on things I thought were right. Come to find out, they were wrong. But God would do, that's what these verses are talking about. A sheep that was in the fold and went away. You know why this happens? It's because in many churches, the pastors aren't praying for their people. They don't really care. I'm not saying I'm special. I think I am, but that doesn't make me special. What that means, I do care. Because I've had to learn to love like God loves. That no matter how you've treated me, if you treated me bad, I love you. And I'll still tell you the truth. No matter what you think of me, I know most of you are a lot smarter than me. But when I try, when I care to try, I told Angela that I didn't realize this. My senior year, I was on the honor and merit roll for 3 of the 4 9-weeks that I tried. I'm not stupid. My greatest strength was the class I failed, English. Doesn't matter today because we got texting. You don't even have to put punctuation in anymore. Man, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, oh, okay. Do you know how long it took me to figure out LOL means laugh out loud? I thought it meant lots of luck. So imagine if somebody put SOL. Military guys know that one quite well. I'm like, what is this? That's why I came up with out of luck. Five, all of heaven rejoices when one is brought back into the fold. When you came back to Jesus, or you gave your heart to Jesus, all of heaven stopped what they were doing, and they rejoiced for you. Think about it. Heaven isn't full of 50 people. Thousands, perhaps millions of angels stopped and stood before the throne of God and gave him glory. God does not desire for even one to perish. Lord, if it's your will that they get saved, it is God's will. Stop praying like that. It is absolutely God's will that all should come to that revelation. You need to understand that. Sometimes we busy ourselves with the work of the ministry, thinking that it's what we're called to do instead of living. You've got to go out in the public. This isn't the mission field. Out there's the mission field. You coaches, you teachers, you business people. And guess what? Bible doesn't say you got to stand out there and preach at them all the time. That is a bunch of garbage. I'm going to help you out here on something. Those of you who think it's your job to stop a delivery guy for 20 minutes and preach to them, you're in error. Because one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not steal. Well, I'd never take anything from anybody, brother. Well, you just took 20 minutes of that employer's time. Somebody paid that man while you were standing there. Well, how's he going to know about Jesus? First off, you be a Christian. You start acting like it. They'll see it. But for you to steal that employer's time is wrong. And another thing, if you're going to put down tracts, there's two things on this. One, do not put them in the bathroom. Seriously, what is wrong with people? I'm going to put this on the toilet. Really? I don't even touch the toilet seat in public. I got a boot. And I've just got to the point now, I don't even put it down if I have to. It's a men's room. If he's got to sit down, well, you got a boot. Two, do not leave one of them goofy looking tracks as a tip. What's that look like, a 20? I've known waitresses that have gotten those, and that was their tip. And everything in me wanted to hunt down the religious knucklehead who left a track that looked like cash as a tip. It looks like a folded up 20. And it's telling them about Jesus. But you just lost that one. If you ain't wrapping it in a 20, don't leave it. Because now that I'm thinking about it, it might be 100. So there, if you want to leave that, you leave 100. There. But the most important thing we can do is to live our life for God. To love people how we want to be loved, right? That's why I told you, you wanted to see God? Look around. You will see him in each and every person. When I was a teenage boy, we looked at, you know, we went to the mall, didn't we, Rob? We were girl watching is what we were doing. We told our parents, yeah, we're going to the Christian bookstore. We did. But then we went, we watched the girls. And we saw which ones would go into the Christian bookstore. Wasn't very many of them going in there. But we went to watch girls. So we started as young men learning to judge women by how they looked. Don't sit there and think that you women weren't taught the same thing. We ain't got no muscles. That's okay. You don't need to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, we see how that's turned out for him. Learn to look at people and love them the way God does. God is seeing us down the road. Victorious. Free. And you have to let go of, oh man, I just messed up. And you know what happens when we do that? We walk 100 steps away instead of turning and say, God, renew in me a clean heart. And restore the contrite, which means humble, spirit. That's why the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. He pursued what God wanted. Let those be the things that you pursue. Amen? Let's stand. For those of you who may be, as far as the Broadwater calling hours and everything, they're in Cardington at Gump Funeral Home starting at 2 to 5. So today, yeah. So if you want to stop by and give Maggie and her family your love, you can do that. Yeah, I know we're going to. So, but be praying for them. And some of you may know my aunt died Friday. Yeah, it was Friday morning. She was younger than my dad, so this has kind of got some of the others, but I will throw this warning out for everybody. Don't let grief be the ruler in your life. For nearly a year and a half, she has grieved my other aunt. They had no idea what was wrong with her. Still don't. No idea why she wouldn't eat, drink, and then she just died. So, I don't know, but as of this moment, as far as I'm aware, I'm doing her service. So next Sunday, we will be jetting out of here pretty quick. And so I can go down and spend some time with the family. Just think about praying, because there's a lot of hurt, I know, at this point in that family. And, now that one of the youngest ones just died, the older ones are thinking that's not right. Spend your time this week loving other people. Love your family. They're the hardest ones sometimes to love, aren't they? You know why? Because they're so close to you. And when something happens, that's why it hurts worse. But love them. Love them anyhow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your love, for your mercy, Lord God. Father, I pray that you begin this work in us. One, that we don't love you out of religion. The work that Jesus Christ did, Father, is not common. Nobody could have ever fulfilled that. So, Lord, we are grateful for that. Father, we rejoice in that. In that unmerited favor, the favor you did for us. Lord, I pray that we all aspire to be the image that you have of us. And Father, for those who are dealing with guilt, those who are dealing with condemnation, Father, I bind that in Jesus' name. Conviction is one thing, Lord God, but condemnation and guilt are not. They're from the enemy. And they're saying, you are not forgiven. You did not earn this. You're right. I didn't. And that's what makes it even so much greater, is I can never earn it. But yet you still did it, Jesus. So we again thank you. Father, I bless your people here today. Lord, I thank you that as they go out, your love will permeate every core, every fiber of their being, Lord God. That they will be ministers for you, of you, just by being alive. As your word says, Jesus, as you said, you will be witnesses. So, Father, I thank you that you're moving in Jesus' name. Amen.